Confessions of a Troll by Artemis Greenleaf. Chapter 5, Edward Kelly, wherein our chastened hero goes to the library.
Mordecai Obadiah Peterson, what do you mean coming home at this hour stinking like a brewery? I said midnight, remember?
I thought I'd have at least gotten a thank you, you're safe first. That's the problem with having older brothers. They ruin everything.
Aren't there enough problems in the household to deal with right now? Did you think I needed more?
I just looked down at my vomit-spattered shoes.
Don't you have anything to say for yourself?
What would be the point? I shook my head.
You are grounded, young man. No friends, no telephone, no TV and no computer. Straight to school and straight home. That's it. I'm going to call your Uncle Truman. You put one foot wrong, mister, and you're going to be staying with him for the entire summer. He'll get you straightened out, and I mean sure enough.
Maybe she was done. My head started to throb and my stomach felt like there was a hamster in a wheel in there. Whatever. Nothing Uncle Truman could do to me would make me feel any worse than I did right now.
Since you seem to have so much free time that you can go out drinking, I can take care of that. There are plenty of extra chores around the house you can do. I'll make a list for you. Now, go clean yourself and get to bed, she said, glaring at me.
At least I didn't have to get up at 6 for work tomorrow, I thought, as I brushed my teeth. I stripped out of my damp clothes and collapsed on the bed, naked. I woke up feeling like there was a railroad spike through my head. Who stuffed dirty socks in my mouth? I opened said mouth, but there was nothing there but a truly vile taste and a parched tongue. I looked at the clock. 3:45. I thought I'd been asleep a whole lot longer. I got up and drank water until I was afraid I'd be sick again. It didn't seem to help much. I took some ibuprofen and wondered if death might be a better alternative. I plopped back onto the bed.
Ugh, what's that smell? My brother's voice pierced the thick fog. Ugh, what's that smell?
My brother's voice pierced the thick smog of sleep and hangover. I pretended to be asleep. He threw something over my butt. It felt like a towel.
Nobody wants to look at that, he muttered.
I heard the door close, and I waited a minute or so before I sat up. Marcus stood by the door, waiting for me to move.
What did Mum say when you came home hammered?
His words hit my head like little hailstones. Did he have to talk so loud? Grounded, she threatened me with Uncle Truman.
Ah, you really screwed up.
Shut up. Mike had to go and stay with Uncle Truman once, remember? Uncle Truman was an ex-Army Ranger. He lived in a cabin in the East Texas Piney Woods. He had a generator for electricity and his own water well. He did have a cell phone, only because Mum insisted and because she brought him a solar charger for it. I wasn't sure what he did to earn money, but he always seemed to have some. It was probably one of those things where if he told me, he'd have to kill me. I remembered the summer Mike stayed with him. I was 8. Mike was 13. He was going through a small, shall we say, defiant stage. He left for Uncle Truman's the first day of summer vacation and came back the weekend before school started. For the first 6 weeks he didn't say anything to Mum, except yes, Mum, and no, Mum, or thank you, Mum. He never talked back to Mum or Dad since, or said anything else about dropping out of school. He wouldn't talk about his summer, and we finally gave up asking about it. Marcus thought there might have been a bamboo cage involved. I didn't think so, because Mike had come home with muscles. Nobody got ripped like that sitting in a cage. Whatever happened, I was not eager to find out through first-hand experience, not even for killer guns. Besides, I had driver's ed this summer. I didn't have time to be stuck in the boonies with Uncle Truman. I had the most miserable Saturday night in the history of mankind. Couldn't watch TV, couldn't go anywhere. About the only thing I could do was sit around and try not to think about what Candace and her prom date might be doing. That was worse than useless, because it only made me think about what I'd like to be doing with Candace if I'd taken her to the prom. Monday morning. I could smell cinnamon coffee and toast on my way downstairs. It made it seem like it was just another normal day, like nothing had changed. Mum was mumbling to herself as she packed her lunch. I came up beside her and let out a big sigh, almost a groan. "Mum, I've got a report due. I need to go to the public library after school." "What's wrong with the high school library?" "Chess club meets there until 4, and then they shut the place down." "Fine." She still couldn't look at me. "I'll pick you up on my way home from work." I was not allowed to use the internet at home now. The library blocked objectionable sites, instant messaging, and certain high-risk email providers, so I probably couldn't get into trouble. At least, that was the idea. Too bad. It didn't work out that way. We dropped Miranda off at the middle school when Morris drove Marcus and I across town to the high school. I saw Candace getting out of her dad's police cruiser. I didn't wait for her. I dug around my locker for my geometry book. "Hi." I looked up and saw Candace. I grunted at her, trying not to sound eager. "Come over after school?" "Can't. Grounded." "Oh. Lance's party? I heard about that." "Jared said he saw you there. Email me," she said over her shoulder as she headed towards her English class. She heard about that? Great. Just what had Jared told her? I didn't want to get my hopes up, so I tried to forget about it until after I'd waded through my dreary classes. I sat with Steve at lunch, told him I was going to the library after school to finish my homework. Mum would pick me up at around 5:30 in case he wanted to just happen to show up before then. When I got to the library, I plopped my books down on the table with a thud. An older lady 2 tables over gave me an irritated look. I spread out my stuff, found the notebook I needed and my copy of Moby Dick. I had to write 500 words on the symbolism of the white whale and Captain Ahab as a metaphor. This book was hard enough to read. Why did it have to mean something other than a story about a crazy man chasing a whale? Sometimes I just thought English teachers made up all this symbolism, allegory, metaphor stuff up for job security reasons. I usually wrote things out longhand before typing them, mostly because we all shared the same home computer, all except me now. So no one had unlimited time to think and type as you went. I already had about 2/3 of it done. Besides, I had to wait for one of the 3 computers to become available. I thumbed through the book, trying to find passages I thought I remembered having something to do with Captain Ahab's particular lunacy. I was at word 492 when a man in a floppy hat, threadbare shirt, and frayed shorts finally got up from one of the computers and left. I grabbed my stuff and went over to it before anyone else could grab it. The screen read, "Login, password." I had no idea what the login and password were. I looked to my right. A column blocked my view of the information desk, and I had to stand up. The librarian was explaining something very slowly to an elderly man. It looked like it might take the rest of the day, and I was afraid if I got up for too long, I'd lose my turn at the computer.
"I'm a librarian. I can help you."
A soft voice, almost a whisper, came from my left. I turned my head. The speaker was not a large man, and he looked fit, but not muscle-bound. A plastic library employee badge hung around his neck. There was something about him that seemed very familiar. Monica used to bring Marcus and me here a lot when we were younger. Maybe I remembered him from then.
"Do you have your library card?"
he asked, stroking his pencil-thin moustache. They must have had the AC cranked up in here. My hands were shaking as I pulled out my wallet, and my fingers were so cold I almost dropped the little cards. I shuffled through them. Smoothie shop frequent buyer, movie rental, bookstore discount, until I got to the fluorescent orange and electric blue library card. I pulled it out and showed it to him.
Good. Your login is the same as your last name, plus the first 3 digits of your library card number. Your password is the last 6 digits. We highly recommend you change the password once you get logged in.
Like someone's going to steal my library card and fraudulently borrow books.
Thanks, I said instead. You're welcome, Mordecai. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you. My name's Kevin, by the way. Kevin Gutierrez.
He smiled a sad, twitchy little smile before he turned and disappeared behind a tall bookshelf. I looked at my library card. The number was 6684-59734. So I'm Peterson 668. I guess that makes me the neighbour of the beast. So there, Mum. I could feel little pearls of sweat in my hair by the time I got my report typed and printed. They seriously needed to get the AC fixed. It was either freezing or sweltering in here. I had at least an hour to spare. The computer was available. I thought about the machine that had gone up in a puff of smoke when Grand Am Guy crashed into us. If only things were like they used to be. If Dad hadn't had the stroke. If only we had more money. And since I'm dreaming, maybe I could get better looking. If I was rich and hot, maybe, Candace would see me as a guy rather than just a friend.
Oh, crap! I said loudly enough that I imagined the librarian behind the counter giving me a dirty look. I'd forgotten I was supposed to email Candace. Fortunately, I was able to get to my Gmail account. I didn't know what to say to her. I stared at the empty email for a long time before I finally typed in something totally lame.
See, why are you not at Lance's party? After I clicked send, I had an idea. What if I was all those things? Rich, good-looking, all the things I wanted to be but wasn't. I went to FaceSpace and created an account. I opened another window and created a Yahoo account for Chainmail. Name. I thought for a minute. There was a show on Discovery Channel about alchemists. One was a famous fraud. His name was... I had to think for a minute. Edward Kelly. Next, I looked through Australian TV sites until I found a picture I liked. Then I lifted it for the FaceSpace photo. I had just come up with an idea for my first blog post. Can anyone relate? I can't help it if my dad is rich, or that he married a model and both my sister and I look like her. Girls are always flirting with me. Nothing wrong with that. But the second they find out who I am, they are relentless. It's not that I mind them throwing themselves at me. My butler buys a box of condoms for me when he does the shopping each week. But still, it would be nice to know a girl is interested in me, not my money. I read it through twice and published it. I checked my email again. A reply from Candace.
Friedemeyers? Seriously? Jared said you had a little too much of a good time. Can you bike to school with me tomorrow?
And what else did Jared say? I replied, Mum would freak if she found out. Could probably squeeze you in the car if you need a ride. Call house tonight and talk to Mum. When did you talk to Jared about party?
Prom.
Facepalm. Candace went to the prom with Jared? And all this time I was worried about her being with some troglodyte football player. Was I good at torturing myself or what? I went back to my blog.
Edward Kelly? Asked a voice behind me.
I turned and saw Steve standing there. I'd been so wrapped up in my post I didn't even notice him reading it over my shoulder. I hadn't planned for anyone to know about it, and I cringed.
Hey, that's cool. A box a week, I like it.
I had to laugh. I couldn't imagine Steve using a box a year. Sometimes I thought he sprayed on girl repellent. I wasn't even 100% sure he liked girls. Once Zack had found his dad's stash of penthouse mags, Steve said looking at pictures of naked ladies was sick. Never sure if it was him or his grandmother talking. She's kind of an over-the-top prude. Anyway, somehow Zack's mum found out about the stash and that was the end of that.
Hey, want to come over tonight and play Alien Shock Force?
Can't. Still grounded. Lance's party, remember?
How long?
Till Mum gets over it.
Hey, you could be in college by then. Hope you don't miss drivers, Ed.
That sent a little spasm of fear tickling through my stomach. Then I saw Mum coming in the side door. She hadn't seen us yet. I logged out and yanked my math book open to where my homework was folded up inside. Play along with me, I whispered to Steve. Mum had seen us now and was headed our way. I pretended to be so busy helping Steve, who was actually much better at math than me, with his geometry homework, that I didn't see her coming up.
Hey, Mrs. Peterson, Kai was just helping me write a proof for Euclid's fourth theorem. Don't know what I'd do without him.
Don't you? Mum's eyebrow twitched up. I'm glad he could help.
Well, dude, gotta go. We can talk about this some more tomorrow at study hall if you want.
Sure.
Goodbye, Steve. Mum waited for him to start walking.
Mordecai, did you get your homework done?
Yeah, but I'll probably have to come back tomorrow.
I see. That's what Mum always said when she believed you were lying, but couldn't prove it. We rode home together in deathly quiet. I couldn't tell if Mum was angry with me or just tired and grouchy. I stared out the window and thought about Edward Kelly's next blog post. Mum slammed on the brakes.
Oh no, she said.
Confessions of a Troll by Artemis Greenleaf. www.artemisgreenleaf.com. This work is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States License. If you'd like to leave a comment for Artemis Greenleaf or learn more about the other projects in progress, please go to www.artemisgreenleaf.com.